Good, good, good. Hey, have you noticed that we live in a culture of comparison? Have you noticed, like, just look on Facebook. I mean, how come my life isn't as good as that guy's? We live in a culture of comparison. Like, we want to resemble, like, now be honest, you go to the haircut place and you pick up the People magazine. How many? Yeah. You want to compare, you want to look, you know, I want to look like that guy. Guys, you know, we stand in front of the mirror in the morning, we're like, man, I look pretty good. Then you let the breath out, and you're like, yeah, maybe not. So, and ladies, you know, I don't want to, like, offend, but how many of you have gone to the store, how many have gone to the hair place with a magazine going, I want to look like that? Guys do it too, don't kid yourself, I've done it. And then they go, your hair won't do that. So I say, well, okay, I just go back to the norm. So we live in a culture of comparison. We live in a culture where I want to be like the next guy. We see that on Facebook. We see it on social media. Like, all this comparison and this resemblance. I want to resemble so. I want my kids to resemble so-and-so's kids. I want my life to resemble so-and-so's life. We watch this show on TV called Insane Pools or something like that. I don't know if you've seen this. I'm like, these pools cost more than my house. Like, people are putting, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars in this pool. I'm like, how come my life isn't like that? You know, it's not the same. So we talk about resemblance, and we're so hungry to resemble something. We're so hungry to resemble something. I've been told that I look like someone. I'll see what you guys think. I've been told I look like, you know, Peyton Manning. I don't see it. Like, I seriously don't see it, but I have been literally, this is legitimate, I have been told I look like Peyton Manning. I've also been told I sound like Nicolas Cage. Some of the youth group kids call me Mr. Cage. I'm like, I don't get that either. But we all look like someone, don't we? We resemble something. If my dad was up here standing beside me, he's just a little bit older than I am, and I'd look just like him at his age. Although he's a little more gray at my age, but we have a strong resemblance, don't we? Families have strong resemblance. Well, as a believer, I'm going to challenge you this morning that we are to have a strong resemblance to someone. And you're all thinking, Jesus, right? Correct. We're all done. You can go home. Just resemble Jesus. We should have that strong resemblance to Jesus. And as believers, Scripture says we should be conformed to his image. We should be like him. We should be a reflection of who he is. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to kind of dig in. As God's children, we should take on the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. Paul was writing this in the fifth book of Ephesians and all throughout Ephesians, really all throughout all of his letters. But our challenge is that when people see us outside these doors, and I'm going to say when people see us inside these doors, they see Jesus in us. That's our opportunity, is that we live like Jesus. As a faith community, we should have a strong resemblance to our mission. What is our mission? To make what? Disciples. We should have a strong resemblance to disciples. That's our prayer as a staff for you. That's our prayer as a staff for every family and everybody that comes in this place, is that we would become more like him. Less like us, more like him. We should have that strong resemblance. So we start into chapter 5 today, and remember that the first half of Ephesians, the first three books, are really theology. They're helping us understand God. They're helping us understand his love, helping us see our standing in Christ Jesus and how much he loves us. And then the second half is a lot of practical. It's the lot of how-tos. It's the lot of telling us how to live, giving us instructions on how to live, not to subdue us, not to control us, but to free us and to have us live a life that's abundant, have us to live a life that's filled with joy, a life that's filled with peace, a life that reflects Jesus, a strong resemblance. Paul's letter is about truly living as a community of faith, not just on the weekend, not just on Sunday. Too many times in my own life, and I'm sure not for you, but in my own life, when I was younger, and maybe even still today, what happens on Sunday needs to carry over to Monday, because Monday is where it matters. Tuesday is where it matters. Every single day matters. And it's not just a bunch of knowledge that we gain. If we gain a bunch of knowledge and don't apply it, it's useless. I know guys who could quote the Bible like way better than I can. But are we applying that knowledge? I was part of a church in Chicago, and the pastor said, he says, really our challenge and our opportunity is, he says, we have this incredible book of knowledge. So it's, we want to learn that, but we can't just stay there. We've got to apply it. And if you have both, if you have knowledge and the Holy Spirit guiding you, he says, you're set. And that's our opportunity as believers in Christ Jesus. So Ephesians 5, let's just dig in here for a second. Ephesians 5, 1 says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Why do we imitate? We imitate because we like, we are attracted to whatever it is. The challenge with this world is we can be attracted to negative things and imitate that as well. It's far easier to be grumpy than it is to be happy. It is far easier to be critical than it is to build others up. We can imitate things that are around us, and it's our opportunity to have those things be positive or negative. So Paul is encouraging the Ephesians to imitate God in everything you do. That's not a very daunting statement, is it? Not very challenging at all. I'll just be just like God. I wish that were easy. But it's our opportunity every day to become more like him, and that's Paul's instructions, and it's his challenge to the Ephesians to be in everything you do. See, Jesus' outward actions and our outward actions come from the internal heart. They come from a heart that is close to God. They come with a heart that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:2 says this, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Last week, Tom had an incredible message and really had some very practical and very difficult things to preach through. But it really was an instruction that Paul was giving to the Ephesians and Tom gave to us as a faith community. And we're going to continue that talk this morning, but it's all about love. It's all about living a life full of love. Last week, Tom talked about this, Ephesians 4, 31 and 2, 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ Jesus, has forgiven you. Paul uses a really theological words right here. Get rid. Very Greek, very deep. Get rid of all these things. Rage, bitterness, anger. He said, get rid of these things. And what does he say? They are not for you. See, those things can't coexist with a life that is filled with God's Spirit. Bitterness, anger, rage, cynicism, whatever it is, those can't coexist with a life that is filled with God's Spirit. They can't. They just simply can't coexist. Paul's telling the Ephesians, get rid, that deep theological term, get rid of these things. And then there's another deep theological word, instead. Instead, and it happens multiple times through these scriptures in Ephesians 5. Instead, be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. Paul is saying that since our Heavenly Father is kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving, that we should be the same. We should imitate Him in everything we do. Now, Paul has some similar instructions in chapter 5. In chapter 4, it was get rid. In chapter 5, it says this. 5, 3, and 4. It says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you, since sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Notice that again. These are not for you. Instead, there's that word again, let there be thankfulness to God. These are not for you. And I think there's this misconception in Christianity that has kind of trickled down through the years that people who are not believers, they see Christians and they think, oh, God's just, he does that to control them. He does that to subdue them. Pastors do that to control and subdue. And unfortunately, pastors are human and sometimes they do that. But if we truly look at the text, God said, instead, be filled kind, tenderhearted. Have you ever been around someone who's kind and tenderhearted? Those are the kind of people that are attractive. Those are the kind of people you want to be around. I don't want to be around critical people. I don't want to be around cynical people. I don't want to be around people who are angry. I want to be around those who are kind and tender-hearted. And guess what? Those are the people that want to be around you when we're kind and tender-hearted. Our teachers come back tomorrow. Our teachers for Gateway Christian Schools come back tomorrow. And getting ready for a new school year. I was just talking to one of our principals this morning. And I was saying, so, be kind and tender-hearted with parents and students. And he just laughed. And he goes, I'll try. And he is. But it's our opportunity to be like Jesus in everything we do. We each have a circle of influence, and that's our opportunity. So instead means this. It means as a substitute or alternate in place of. God's characteristics are in place of bitterness, rage, cynicism, anger, fear, judgment. God's characteristics are in place of. And that's what Paul is challenging the Ephesians, to have these things be in place of God's character, in place of the world. And in order to imitate God, he needs to be in place in areas of our life. He needs to be an alternate to things that are in our life. And I say that just as much to myself as I say that to each of us this morning. Ephesians 5, 7 and 9 says this, don't participate in things that these people do. For once you were filled with darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Light produces what's good and true. Jesus is light. Ever had a difficult night? And when the morning comes, when that morning light comes, it seems to get better. I've known people who have struggled with anxiety or fear or panic. And when the morning comes, it's like you can take a deep breath. When the darkness fills you, it's overwhelming. But when the light comes, you just kind of take that breath and relax. Doesn't mean it went away. It just means it's helpful. As a child, some of us were afraid of the dark. What do we have? Night what? Night light. Because that little bit of illumination, that little bit of illumination helped. Some of you were old enough, not me, but some of you were old enough that you went to concerts and when they had was a cool song, everybody hold up their lighters. You know, that wasn't me. Why do you laugh? Yeah. Now what is it? Cell phones. I was going to do that. I was going to have lights come down and everybody hold up their cell phones. But you get the idea. A little bit of illumination makes a big difference. I've told this stories about the farm growing up in the summertime and some of my favorite memories, honestly. But my uncle told me one time as I was learning to drive and I was driving the big trucks and semis and combines and all that, he said, you need to be aware of where you are during the field because this isn't like Seattle. This isn't, we can see the lights. You can see the sky kind of illuminated from the lights of the city. Even Paul's Bow, you can see that. Out there in the middle of eastern Washington, it is pitch black. You can't see 10 feet in front of your face. And so when you're out in the middle of fields at night, and we would often harvest until we couldn't get grain through the machines anymore. If it was dry, we were cutting. And so sometimes it'd be 9, 10 o'clock at night before we'd stop, and it was pitch black. Well, he always said, be aware of where you are, because in the pitch black, you can't see the horizon. You can't see the top of those hills. You can't figure out where you are, which gully you're in. And so you got to keep track of your tire tracks, where you've been, and make sure you know your way out, because you can get stuck back there. And so when you have those headlights on, and we put big bright lights on the trucks and big bright lights on the combine and tractor so you knew where you were, that little bit of illumination allows you to navigate a dark environment. And that's the same with Jesus Christ. That little bit of illumination, or as a believer's case, when we are filled with light, we illuminate dark situations around us. People, have you ever noticed with someone who exudes that light of Jesus Christ, people want to be around them because they're problem solvers. Not because they can fix things, but because they have the light of Jesus Christ in them and they make a difference in the dark environment they might be in. We pray for those who are going to Royal Family Kids Camp. Some of these kids come from desperate circumstances. They are struggling, some of those kids, but to hear the stories, the difference that 1 week can make, that is the light that makes a difference in some of those kids' heart for their very lives. Their very lives are at stake, and Jesus, through our people in Royal Family Kids Camps throughout this country, it makes the light within them that changes their very life. Be children of light. Ephesians 5:14 says, "For light makes everything visible." This is why it said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Light makes everything visible. It illuminates the darkness in the environment. So that's the big idea today. Live as people of light. Live as people of light. Jesus in John 12:46 says this, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness." We don't have to stay in the darkness. We can be illuminated, and we can be light to this world. If you're a note taker and you like the points of the sermon, this is the first point. Live a life of love. Straight out of Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians says this, "Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, as a pleasing aroma to God." Now, we live in a culture where love is a feeling. I could quote any number of songs from pop artists. Love is a feeling. Too often, love is a fickle feeling. Too often we live a fickle feeling based on circumstantial moments. We determine how we're being treated, then we decide if we love that person or not. Now let me say this, to qualify this. That doesn't mean there aren't negative situations, and that doesn't mean there isn't abuse and some really, really bad stuff that goes on in our culture. But too often times we base love on feelings. We base it, and it's decided by circumstances. But love isn't a feeling. It's an action-oriented commitment. It's a choice to give your best to someone even when they are at their worst. It means serving someone even when they are in no position to repay. It means giving more grace than we feel like giving. It means being kinder than we feel at the moment. That's what Christ did for us, and that's what he calls us to do for each other. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show it by the truth in our actions, getting rid of all that stuff, and instead be filled with the light of Jesus Christ." That's how we show love and light to each other. When we imitate God and his characteristics live in place of our sinful nature, we become people of light. God shines through us in life, in relationships, in actions. John 13:35 says this, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Notice it doesn't say your love for the world will prove that you're my disciples. Your love for one another. The context of this scripture is very important. This scripture was written to believers. This scripture was written to the church. So your love for one another, each other, will prove to the world that you are my disciples. We talk a lot about being disciples. The schools, the teachers know, what are we here for? To make disciples. Sometime it can become, Tom will come into a staff meeting, he's like, "Okay, a candy bar for those of you who can quote the mission statement." He hasn't done that in a while, but you might Tuesday, huh? We say, what are we about? Making disciples. And that seems like, making disciples. That's what Scripture tells us to do. We aren't making this stuff up. Jesus calls us to be disciples. And so your love for one another will prove that you are my disciples. See, if we want to influence, if we want to be light in our culture, a culture that is increasingly filled with darkness, if we want to be light, they will know us by our love for one another. When generation after generation, it doesn't matter if you're a builder, a boomer, an Xer, a Y, a millennial, a Z, it doesn't matter who you are, they will know us by our love. People are looking to experience community, and they're looking to experience hope. And when we are filled with the light of Jesus Christ, people will look at us and say, those people are legit, they are real, they're authentic, they're not afraid to talk about tough things, they're not afraid to be humble. They're filled with Christ's love. Can I just tell you, I'm dealing with that with one of my neighbors right now. Like, he's driving me crazy. And I was washing cars yesterday. God kind of went, "Aren't you preaching about this tomorrow? You're supposed to love. You're supposed to be light. I don't feel like light with my neighbor right now." But God kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Show more grace. And have I not shown you grace? Have I not given you forgiveness?" See, that's our opportunity. So as we show grace, as we show light, that's what we're talking about. Too often this verse, like I said, has been used out of context. It's so that we love each other. We show each other love. Point number two today, out of Ephesians, live a life of vigilance. We become people of light when we diligently seek God in Scripture and are able to resist what Paul talks about in verse 10. 5, 9, and 10 says this, "For the light within you produces what? What is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases God. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil darkness. Instead," there's that word again, "expose them in your own heart." Expose those things and let God deal with those. The truth and light in Scripture, God had a little exposure moment with me yesterday. The truth and light in Scripture exposes the darkness in our hearts. Then we can get rid of those things and live in freedom. But God, Paul instructs us, he says, carefully determine what pleases God. Guard your hearts. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We have officers in here. We have many military people, many who have served on a ship. If a ship is off course, that is a dangerous thing. If a ship runs aground, that's a dangerous thing. See, in life, we have the ability pretty easily to run aground. But when God is the captain of our ship, when God is the captain of our course, when His light illuminates the path, when His light illuminates the course, then we're in safe passage. We're on course with Him. Obviously, I'm fairly artistic, and songs and music is a big part of my life. But there's a song in my devotional playlist. It's by a group called Truth, which is no longer a part of the musical landscape anymore. But they did a whole album of Scripture, and these Scriptures are great. The one that came to my mind this week as I was studying and preparing for this weekend was this song. It says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." Ever heard that Scripture before? This whole album is just filled with Scripture. "Knock and it will be open to you." All these things. "Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." All these songs. Scripture. Fill your heart with the light of Jesus. So that's be sober, be vigilant. Carefully examine what God wants you to do. 1 Peter, that's the verse out of 1 Peter. "Be sober of spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone who to devour." So that, as we said in Ephesians 5, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days, the dark days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me make a comment on that line that says, "Don't be drunk with wine." That is a direct quote, but it's a bigger principle than wine. It's about letting something control you in your life. It's about not being under the influence of something that will keep you from getting rid of those things and keep you from the light of Jesus. So anything that causes control in your life, anything that takes over where Jesus was meant to live, that's what he's talking about there. It's not just wine. That's just one example. It's anything. Drugs, alcohol, pornography, shopping, food, greed, jealousy, whatever it is that controls you, anger, anxiety, whatever controls you, we are not meant to live under that control. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's how we're to live, and that's the next point. Live by the Spirit's power. Live by the Spirit's power. Filled in the Greek says to make full, to make complete. The idea is that there's no room for anything else. When Jesus fills our heart completely, when the light of Jesus fills our heart completely, there's no room for anything else. That's how we're to live. That's our challenge and our opportunity to live that way. That's how I want to live. That's my prayer for each of us. Now, the challenge is each of us struggles with that, and that's the wrestling match we will face every single moment of every single day of our life, is to let Jesus fill us completely. He, the Holy Spirit, is to be the guiding force in our life. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let him fill you completely." So what is it when a believer is filled with the Holy Spirit? Many of you have heard these quoted before, but there's evidence, and they come out of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." You know, I've been to a lot of memorials, a lot of funerals. And you hear a lot of things that you went, that wasn't the same person that I remember. I hope that every single one of us, when that comes our time, that it can be said, they, he, she were filled with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and most of all, love. See, when the Holy Spirit is there, when the Holy Spirit is bringing light and illuminating our hearts, those things are the outward actions that come out. Remember the big idea today. Live as people of light. We become people of light when we abide in Jesus, when we remain in him. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, John 15, says it about 13 times in there. Abide in me, remain in me. John 15, 9 says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment, that you love each other the same way I have loved you, which leads us to our last point today, which is this: live a life of healthy relationships. Spirit-guided relationships. Did you notice something? It just hit me during the first service, actually, in that last scripture. Siobhan, would you bring up that last scripture, 15:9? Would you notice, just as I obey, that's third line, just as I obey my Father's commandments, Jesus submitted himself to the Father's love. He submitted himself to the Father's commandments. And that is what this last section in Ephesians chapter 5 asks us to do in our relationships, ultimately, is to submit to one another. Look at Ephesians 5:21. Further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is a touchy passage. It's the one where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. And that's been abused by pastors and preachers through the years. But I submit to you today that Paul was using this section as an example. He was using the marriage relationship as an example of all the relationships we're supposed to have. He used the marriage relationship because it is the most intimate and it's probably the most difficult one to reconcile, and it's the most difficult one to live in harmony, because when two people get together, they're not going to agree on everything. But I heard this said at many weddings. The pastor would say, this is a three-part relationship. It's God, the bride, and the groom, and they're meant to be in a cycle. You notice that? God, the bride, and the groom, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God talks about threes. We are meant to be in symbiotic relationships all the time, and God wants us to live in submission to each other, and that's what this whole section is talking about. You think he's direct with the wives? Submit to your husbands? See what the husbands have to look at. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a command that's pretty big. But the overarching principle is submit to one another. I say that to us in here. Submit to each other. Submit to each other on staff. Submit to each other in your workplace. That's a tough thing. That's not a popular thing in our culture. The emphasis is not just on husbands and wives. The emphasis is on all of our relationships. Remember the priest who asked Jesus, was trying to trip him up. He said, tell me what the most important commandment is. And Jesus replied in Matthew 22. He says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Now, this is important. And a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. I've heard multiple songs, I've heard multiple sermons about love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The problem is that we need to write the second half. I'm not even going to try to sing it now because I'll probably slay it. But love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says this was equally important. I know that one of the churches we were at in Chicago, there was a person who came in on this side of the room, and there was a person that came in on this side of the room, and they went out opposite doors because they could not stand one another. I submit to you that that's one of the saddest things I ever have seen in my entire life. Does it mean we all agree? Absolutely not. We do not always agree on things. Tom and I don't always agree on things. But we work it out. And when we leave that office or we leave that place, we're together. Even though we may disagree on a method or whatever it is, we are for the same thing. Submit to each other in love. Be people of light. That's the big idea today. Live as people of light. Some of you this morning, you might be sitting here going, wow, I really need to deal with some of this. That's my prayer for you, is that you deal with it. And guess what? God's going to put people in front of you, and he's going to put situations where you have the opportunity to show light, which will help you navigate the darkness, or you're going to fight those things that God says instead of. We all deal with it. I'm the first to admit I'm dealing with it with my neighbor. Maybe you're dealing with it at work, at home, with a child, with a parent, with a sibling, with a spouse, coworker, neighbor, whatever it is. God has given us the opportunity to be children of light, to be people of light. And that's his challenge and opportunity for us as we live this week. So my prayer will be that you run into some of those situations this week and you'll remember these words. You'll remember what we learned from Ephesians today, all of us. Be children of light. Live a life of love. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for all my friends here today. I thank you for every one of the lives that are represented here, the stories of grace, of forgiveness, of mercy. Lord, remind us this week of your love for us. Remind us this week of your grace. Remind us this week of your mercy. So, Lord, so that we can push those things away. We can get rid of all those things that would trip us up. And we can live instead as people of light with love and grace and kindness and tenderheartedness and mercy that just exudes from us. That people would see us and they would see Jesus inside of us. It's a process, Lord, that we'll all be on for our entire lives until the day we stand before you. So God, I pray for every single person in this room this morning, online, for our children, for our youth, for Espanol, our seniors, every single person, Lord, that we would be a community marked by light. We would be a community marked by unity. We would be a community marked by love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.